So if you are new here, even if you're not new here, we recently, just last week, started a new series. In the Old Testament, there is a section of books called the Psalms. Maybe you're familiar. The Psalms. And what the Psalms are is ancient prayers, ancient meditations. But even more, they are scripture, but they are also songs. They're music. They're lyrics. We don't have the music. But you know how today you can turn on the radio, or actually if you're in a certain mood, you know, if you're in a certain mood, sometimes there's a specific song you want to hear that is just the right song for the right moment. Well, the good news is when it comes to the Psalms in Scripture, this is actually kind of the name for this series, if you want to do that. Whatever you're going through in life, there's a psalm for that, okay? If you're old enough, there used to be this commercial for the app on your iPhone. There's an app for that. Okay, maybe it's not that funny. I think it's funny. There's a psalm for that. As in, whatever you're going through, whatever's going on in life, there's a psalm that addresses what you're feeling, what you're going through, okay? There's a psalm for that. Just like there's a song you want to hear, there's a psalm that meets you where you're at. So with that being said, today we're going to look at one of the psalms. And this particular psalm, like many songs today, like most songs, there's a chorus, right? A line that repeats itself. That's kind of like the anchor and kind of like the point and the central thing. I'm going to start today by showing you the chorus verse for the psalm, Psalm 42, that we're going to look at. The chorus that's repeated in the psalm goes like this. It says, verse 5, there it is, you can put it on the screen. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. So this is what it is. Why are you downcast, oh my soul? Downcast. No one uses that word. What does that mean? You can figure it out. It's not hard to figure out. It's like, you might say, like, why are you sad? Why are you down? Why are you gloomy? Why are you depressed? Why are you feeling that way? So if you feel like you're in a place where you just feel distraught, heavy-hearted, something is weighing you down, good news, there's a psalm for that. And we're going to dive into what the Bible says. Quick little note about this. In using words like depressed, if you're feeling depressed, we are talking about spiritual hope, okay? We are spirit beings, but we also have a body. And Michael Witcher is floating around here somewhere. He's a scientist, a professor of medicine, I think is the title. I remember he told me once, not that long ago, he said, it's scary how much of us is determined by chemicals. It's scary how much of like our emotions and things like that are determined by things like dopamine, serotonin, hormones, blood sugar, things of that sort. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is sometimes we have problems with our mind that are not just simply spiritual. Sometimes there are natural things. I don't mean to downplay the importance of mental health or diet and exercise, things like that, when talking about perhaps you find yourself depressed. Because just as we are spirit beings, we have a body, and you can't detach the two. And at times, Jesus actually uses the understanding that our body has needs. He uses that to help us understand spiritual things, and you're going to see that later. So once more, we're going to look at Psalm 42 and how the Bible speaks to stirring a sense of hope, not to downplay that there is physical needs that we often need, but nevertheless, the Bible gives a way for our spirits to align ourselves with hope. Hope when we're feeling downcast. Hope when we're feeling down, heavy-hearted, hope. Now, the word hope. Hope is a good word for this because I know myself. If I have a sense of hope, I can run any race, I can climb any mountain. But if I don't have a sense of hope, it's hard to even get out of bed in the morning. All right? I'm kind of an emotional person. I kind of have ups and downs. I like the Psalms. In fact, I'll be honest with you, when I feel like I just need to read the Bible for myself, I'm pretty much always going to the Psalms, like 99% of the time, not an exaggeration. Because the Psalms can speak to you on an emotional level. And so anyways, hope. When you need a sense of hope, what do? When you feel like hope is far, what do? Psalm 42 is here to help us. I'm gonna pray and then we're gonna dive into this searching for hope, so to speak. Father God, stir in us now a sense of hope and help my words point to you and let it be evident that your Holy Spirit is among us and in us, and the truth that we proclaim is not of man, of people, but it's of you. And thank you, Jesus, that you are alive, and make that clear today and show us through your psalm how we can deal with life when we feel like hope is lacking, Lord Jesus. Help us with that in your name, amen. Okay, so you've seen the chorus of the psalm, of the song, you've seen that, and it is someone when they feel like hope is lacking. What do you do? Well, let's start at the beginning. Okay, Psalm 42, we'll read the first four verses. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Okay. So it starts like this. It starts with, as a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. I'm hungry for God. This person understands what they need when they're feeling down. I am hungry for God, just like the deer would be thirsty. And then he says this. He says, my soul thirsts for God, hear this, for the living God. Now that's intentional by saying that. I am thirsty for the living God. What does that mean? Okay, 2-3 weeks ago, something like that, might have been a month ago, here I asked all of you to pray, and we did pray. Pastor Cheryl led us in this prayer. We prayed that the Lord would give us more boldness. And I shared with you how I personally was seeing the need for boldness. I needed more courage. I was not enough in the habit of starting conversations with people to share the hope that we have. And as I said this last week, if we believe the things that we sing about on Sunday, if we believe it even a little, love demands that we would be more intentional about telling others about the hope we have. This is just, love demands it. We believe this is the truth. And so anyways, I realized I needed more of that, and we prayed. And beloved, I want to tell you that God in my life has been answering this prayer, and my, oh my, it has made a difference in my life. And if time permits, I'll get to that later. But I want to tell you, on Tuesday night of this week, it was like 8:30 p.m., right? And I'm feeling restless. I'm at my home, it's 8:30 p.m., and I'm like, I'm going to leave. I'm going to take my guitar. I went down to the Pointe Claire Village, and I played some songs. I played some music. I sang some songs for people who were gathering to get ice cream. There's a bunch of people there on a summer night. And I did that for an hour's fun. It's something I like to do. It was a lot of fun, and I noticed this young man who was just by himself. Kind of far away from me. I just saw him for a long time. He was just by himself. I noticed him. And then around, 10 p.m., I'm packing up to leave. I'm getting tired now. And I'm walking to my car, and I walk right past him. Now I see him somewhere else, sitting by himself on a beat, on a bench. And I walk past him. You know, it is late, and I'm tired. But then I stop, and I'm like, no, I got to turn around. And I go back, and I'm just like, hey, man, there's a lot of people out on a Tuesday night, isn't there? You come here a lot. Is this normal for a Tuesday night to have this many people? You know, just like a normal conversation to not be weird, you know? Anyways, you know, he seems friendly, chatting with me, and this is kind of like the boldness approach, where it's like, at some point, I need to kind of push the conversation a little farther. And at some point, I think I said to him, because I had told him that I was a pastor, but then later, you know, at some point I said to him, hey, this might be kind of a personal question, but if I can ask you, like, do you believe in God? And, you know, taking that approach and just saying, hey, this is kind of personal, if I may, it gives the person the opportunity to say, no, I don't really want to talk about it, and that's fine. I respect that. But he was actually happy to talk about it. He was a young college student. He's from China, and he told me he was an atheist. And, you know, just chatted for a while. And at some point in the conversation, I remember I said to him, you know, I just want you to know God is close. He's near. And the young man asked me, he's like, what do you mean by that, God is close? What do you mean God is close? And I said, what I mean is, if you look for him, you will find him. That's something Jesus said, everyone who seeks finds. If you look for him, you will find him. He's not hiding. Okay? Really, the problem with humanity is we're the ones hiding. we're the ones hiding. He's actually there to be found. You just look for him. He's there to be found on a personal level. So when we read, as the deer pants for streams of water, my soul pants for you, my God, the living God, the God who is alive, the God who, if I look for, I will find him, the God that I can interact with and who hears my prayers and responds. Not simply a set of religious ideas and doctrines, but a living God, a person, a personal God whom we can meet with. And I shared all these things with this young man, and maybe I'll come back to that later. But this is the first thing, if you're in the habit of like making notes or whatever, this is the first point, okay? When your soul is downcast, seek to meet with God. Seek to meet with the living God, with the personal God. Search for God as the deer pants for water. Point one, look for the personal God. Okay. Amen. Thank you. Now, someone might say, that sounds kind of abstract. You know, it's not like I can just like send him a text, you know, meet me at 5. How do you meet with? How do you meet with the living God? Psalm 42 is here to help us with that. I actually read it already, but I'll read it again in verse 4. It goes like this. These things I remember as I pour out my soul. Hear that? He's looking for God, and he says, I pour out my soul. We're going to jump ahead, actually, to verse 9 and 10, because you see a little more what he means by he pours out his soul. Psalm 42, 9 and 10 goes like this. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? So here he's pouring out his soul, and he says, I say to God, my rock, rock meaning trustworthy, immovable, a foundation. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Now, has God actually forgotten him? Does God forget? No, God doesn't forget. And God has not forgotten him. And he actually knows this. By saying, I say to God, my rock, he's like meaning a firm foundation. But he says to God, why have you forgotten me? What's going on here? You know, sometimes when I'm in a bad mood, I didn't plan on going here, but here we are. Sometimes when I'm in a bad mood, I feel things and I don't feel like they're really good things. And maybe like in our marriage, I might feel things that aren't like really good. And so I just want to bite my tongue. I'm like, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that. And my wife is like, tell me what you're thinking. Tell me what you're thinking. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. I don't think that's a good idea. And sometimes it isn't, by the way. I'm not saying like husbands, wives, always just say what's on your mouth. Sometimes biting your tongue is a good idea. But sometimes my wife is like, just tell me what you're thinking. I'm like, okay, it's not pretty and it's probably not logical, but here goes. And my wife will be like, thank you so much. I feel like close to you that you opened up and you shared with me. And it's like, sometimes it's just kind of like, I have to let the crazy out. I don't know if that makes sense. I just have to say the things that's on my mind. And there is like a relational connection that happens there. That's between two people. Now, when it comes to prayer, here's the good news. You don't have to make sure your prayers are pretty. You don't have to make sure your prayers are even like, you don't have to worry like, oh no, what if I say something that's not right or wrong or somehow irreverent? What is it? What psalm is it? Did I write it down? Psalm 142 actually says, I pour out my complaints to God. You can complain to him, okay? 1 Peter 5 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares about you. What we're doing right now, when you're downcast, this is another point you can write down if you want. When you're downcast, pour out your soul to God. Say whatever's on your mind. If you feel like he forgot you, say, Lord, why do you forgive me? What's going on here? Why do I have to wait so long? You see how hard it is? Why is it so hard? Help me. You don't have to make your prayers nice and polished. And beloved, honestly, if when it comes to God, the only prayers you have are you know how to recite your prayers, you know how to say your formal religious prayers, that might be a good place to start, but it's not a good place to stay. How it works for me a lot of times when I'm feeling like heavy, I walk out, I leave. I don't know if it's because I have ADD or what, but it's really hard for me to pray if I'm not out walking somewhere. And I walk out and I pray, and sometimes I'll just start by kind of reciting those prayers. You know what I mean? I'll say the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes I'll say it a couple times and repeat it. Maybe that's how I start out. But eventually, I want to start just saying what's on my mind and saying what I feel. That's what I'm doing eventually. And sometimes during these prayer walks, I can almost like hear God saying, like, this is what I imagine. I imagine like Jesus saying, like, I'll say a bunch of stuff and Jesus will say, is there anything else? And I'll be like, yes, there is in fact. Is there anything else? Oh yeah, there is more. And also this, and also I'm concerned about this and worried about this and I'm not sure about this and I need help with this. Is there anything else? There's a lot more. And then eventually I'll feel like Jesus is saying, is there anything else? And I'll be like, you know, I think that's it. And when I get to that point, it's like, oh, wow. And then I return home and I feel a million times better. That's happens all the time in my life. When you're feeling downcast, pour out your soul to God. That's the point. Okay? Make note of that. So meet with God. Seek to meet with the personal God. Pour out your soul to God. What else? Let's rewind in the psalm and read verse 4-8. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hamon. From Mount Mizar, deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Now, there's some things going on here. There's something repeated, actually. This word, remember. These things I remember as I pour out my soul to you. My soul is downcast within me. Remember. Remember how I used to go and praise. I will again praise him. So what he's doing is, yet I will, he's looking back as he looks forward, okay? Because sometimes in the moment, you can just feel all the pressure of the moment, but he is looking back to gain the strength to look forward. Wednesday, I think it was. I lose track of time. Tuesday during the day, I don't know, one of these days this week, I met with a woman in the church, Isabel, who has been helping me with my French. She's a classe de coy teacher, if you know what that is. And I was telling her all about learning French, how it's ridiculously difficult for me. I put so much time in it, so much time into learning French. And I want to learn French for the sake of talking with people, of course, but there's an acute pressure on my life to learn French because it's tied in with the immigration process of staying here, not just for, our sake, but for the sake of becoming permanent residents so that my adult children can stay here. You know, I have one child that's an adult and another that's about to be, and it's complicated. It's very, very complicated. And to make it more complicated, there is laws regarding immigration that is constantly changing, and the goalpost is changing. And after putting so much work into learning French, which is very rewarding at times, but after putting so much work, they recently paused the program that would allow our family to become permanent residents. And it's a lot. It's a lot. But you know something? I told Isabel this when we got together, speaking French. I said, you know, it is a lot, but I am not depressed or in despair about it. Because I look back on all of the many, many ways that God showed himself in bringing us here, where I know that he is going to continue to be with us. I look back, and that gives me hope for the difficult, uncertain path in the future. I will again praise him. He will show himself. And as we're talking French, this conversation all happened in French, which is cool. Isabel told me, her and JR, they've been, you know, spearheading the apartment outside for the autistic community, and that's involved getting funding from the government, which, if you've ever dealt with the government, before I even moved here, someone told me, Quebec loves rules, and that's something that's absolutely true, I've discovered. Quebec loves rules, and it's been a very difficult process getting funding from the government. It's been a long, that's, Isabel was telling me, it's just long, very difficult, and it continues to be difficult. There's still things, you know, that come up. And she said it's the same thing. The way that we can continue through this is by looking back and seeing that God has shown himself through this process. And beloved, this is just the Christian life. Uncertainties, difficulties, things that feel heavy, feel like God has forgotten you, okay? Things come up that feel like it's too much. What you do is you look back and you say, remember when he did this? Remember when we would praise him? Remember. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. I will again. That's what it means. I'll do it again. So once more. First point, seek to meet with God when you're downcast. Second point, pour out your soul. Whatever's in there, give it to him. Third point, look back and remember as you look forward, because he is with you and he will show himself to be with you. Those are my 3 points for today, but I realized I have a bonus point for you today, okay? I got something else. And it's not directly related to Psalm 42, but I guess it is in this way. I told you before that our bodies and our mind, as well as, you know, being a spiritual people, there are chemicals going on in that mind. Like I say, hormones, things like that. And there are our natural needs. You know what I mean? As in, there are times when I feel like I don't feel hope. I don't feel a sense of life. I don't feel a sense of happiness. Those things can happen to me. And sometimes it's like, I'm not hungry. I'm not hungry at all. But I just need to eat. And then I eat and it's like, oh, I guess I didn't really realize that maybe it was like, I don't know, blood sugar or something has an effect. I'm gonna show you something actually. Because Jesus uses this realization that we have physical needs. He uses this as a way to help us understand spiritual needs. John chapter 4, verse 33 and 34. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work. So Jesus is saying, my food, I get nourishment. You know how when you eat, you feel a sense of nourishment, and if you don't eat, you feel a sense of lack? Well, I want to tell you something. There is a kind of spiritual food that you can eat to feel nourished. And this is connected because this stirs in us a sense of fulfillment, of hope, of happiness. I'll get into this in a moment. Actually, I'll get into this now. When Jesus said this, when Jesus said, my food is through the will of him who sent me, he just had this divine appointment, if I can call it that, with this woman at the well, where he talked about life. I asked you guys to pray for me that I would be more bold. And for the past couple weeks, God has answered that prayer, and I've made it more and more of a habit to start conversations with people. And my, oh my, the effect that this has had in all of my life, okay? All of my life. So much more, I just feel like I've been riding a wave of happiness, to be honest. There is so much nourishment that comes from doing the will of God. Specifically in stepping out of what is safe and actually telling people of the hope that we have. I told my wife like a little bit ago, I was like, I have like so much music in me. Like in my heart, it's just like constantly singing. Actually, for the first time in like 13 years, I bought a guitar. Okay. I have some guitars, but I'm like, I need a guitar that's good. I can play on the street. Cause I just feel like I need to sing. And there is a song in me, and it's honestly in relation to answered prayers. I want to tell you, if you feel like there is something that is not singing in your life, be more intentional about telling people of the hope that we have, because there is a great power there. And catch this, there's a little more. Right after Jesus said this, this is the last passage I have for you, pay attention. Right after Jesus said this, my food is through the will of him who sent me, he says, don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests the crop for eternal life so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. What he's saying here is now is the time. Now is the time. Now is the time. You know, that young man, the Chinese college student that I met Tuesday night, I told him, like, hey, tomorrow there's this young adult thing called Common Grounds going on. This is actually the Common Grounds t-shirt that I got. Adrian, I don't know if he's floating around here today. Adrian Geiner Church leads Common Grounds. It's a young adult group of a handful of churches that get together once a month. And I told this guy about Common Grounds. I'm like, you should go meet some people. And he did go the next day. And so the next day, Wednesday night, I get a text message from Adrian. And he says, you know, that guy, at the end of the night, he said he wants to be a Christian. And the next day, I get a text message from someone else who was there. He's like, Stephen made a profession of faith last night. And What is happening here is exactly what we read. So that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. On Tuesday, I planted some seeds. And on Wednesday, some people were involved in harvest. And we're rejoicing together. And Jesus is saying, this is spiritual food. If this isn't part of your life, you're going to feel a lack of nourishment. And beloved, too long, we have been in the habit of not sharing the hope we have. I had been in the habit. And I asked for boldness, and it's like working out. If you're not in the habit of working out, doing something aerobic is very hard. But when you're in the habit, it's natural. Beloved, we need to change our habit because there is spiritual nourishment that comes from doing this.